When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, a familiar name is taking on more equity stake in Pacers sports and entertainment. I'll discuss the major news that broke Thursday night.
I know that Fieldhouse Files has a prolific following. You know, I just want to be careful about sharing too much with the world.
And welcome into the Fieldhouse Files, the podcast where I take you behind the scenes with the Pacers, talk to individuals on and around the team, and tell you what you need to know. Hello again, everybody. Can't believe it's already the 1st of December. What are we doing? Time is a-flying here right now, but Pacers are nearly 20 games into the season, about a 500 record at 9-8. But the big news came Thursday night in terms of ownership. We don't get many ownership updates when it comes to this franchise. It's run very different and much more quietly is the way in which they operate compared to over on West 56th Street with the Indianapolis Colts. When the Colts win, Jim Irsay, the longtime owner, often talks after games, probably every game. On the other side of that, the last time we've heard from Herb Simon publicly was when a few of us were invited to a kind of roundtable discussion with him when he wanted to clarify the future, I guess the present, of that Pacers team back in 2021, I think it was, right before, a couple months later, they decided to pivot into a rebuild. But he was adamant and wanted to set the record straight. It was about a 40-minute conversation. Nothing was off limits or off the record, but that's once in the last several seasons. Irsay, he talks, and we know he tweets. I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks as Irsay has gone on some tangents on Twitter thinking, imagine if this was my beat and I had to cover Herb Simon tweeting like this. Nonetheless, let's get to the news. And it was the big news that broke late Thursday, about an hour before the Pacers tipped off for their first of two in a row down in Miami against the Heat. It's Stephen Rales is taking on a 20% ownership stake in Pacers Entertainment. And this is at a 3.47 valuation, according to Sportico, who I'll give them props. They broke the news and were ahead of it and got the news there and had some extra things, including that, the fact of the valuation here. Now, I knew Stephen Rales was already involved with the organization. I did not know at what equity and how involved he is. And we still don't know beyond the equity piece, but this is him adding another 15% stake in the Pacers Sports and Entertainment here with this latest move, which is worth an additional like $500 and some million when you break it out for Herb Simon and his family, because it's a family-run company. And what's different about this versus others, I even think of like Jim Irsay and the Colts, is this is it's a major business, but this is a side billion-dollar business in terms of the Pacers for the Simon family. We all know at least round tier. I know I have an audience certainly overseas. That was been cool over the last few days, I guess all week, to see the Spotify rap, how we're viewed and watched and listened to in something like 25 different countries across the world. That's incredible. But nonetheless, what I get at here is it's Simon Property Group. They're publicly traded. It's a company that's all about, we know they're Simon Malls and real estate more than anything, and property. And then in 1983, Herb and Mel came to the rescue and saved the Pacers, spending about $11 million with an M, $11 million to purchase the franchise back then. Well, right now, what did I just say? A $3.47 billion valuation. So it's been a hell of an investment for the Simon family. And it's been fun to see more of the family, I would say, get involved in recent years. The next in line to run the team is Steve Simon. He's been around the team for quite a while now. By my estimates, I think he's had a bigger role for the last decade or so, and especially in the last several years, a lot more visible. Back in February during the All-Star weekend in Salt Lake City, he was out there. He helped host an event for the Pacers and any Indy people that were out there, including those that were doing research and planning ahead for Indy's All-Star game coming up in February. It was him that gave the toast and got things started. He was at several games here, really, to start this season. Rachel Simon's highly involved. Sarah Meyer-Simon highly involved. I go back to Rachel a couple weeks ago when Rick Carlisle announced his new initiative, Drive and Dish. Well, Rachel Simon was there to represent the family. So this is not just Herbie. He's not the only one involved. He's 89 now, just celebrated a birthday in late October. But it's cool to see more of the family get involved. Yet at the same time, you know, moving on from part of equity, and this had to be very difficult for Herbie and his family as well because of what it means to them and everything. But still, they own the majority stake. One thing I did appreciate is about an hour after the report, the Pacers came out issuing a statement, and I'll read it here for those who maybe have not read it online at fieldhousefiles.com. Here's what Herb Simon, the longest tenured owner, by the way, in the NBA since 1983. And what's also cool, Jim Irsay, the longest tenured owner in the NFL. So the Pacers and really the city have old school ownership. Whereas you look at other franchises, a lot of them have a ton of investors. A lot of them are more capital investments, venture capitalists, I think is more so what I was trying to get out there. You think about, you know, Michael Rubin and Josh Harris and others within the Philadelphia 76ers organization previously and what they were able to do. This is very much old school in the way in which the Pacers and Colts have been run. But 2 days after Mark Cuban, the Dallas Mavericks owner, agreed to sell a majority share in his Dallas Mavericks to a Las Vegas company and a billionaires. This is not quite at this level. This is not a majority share. This is a minority stake. It's another 15% to the 5% that Stephen Rails previously owned. So a 20% share versus, you know, probably over 50 or 60 at least for the Mavs deal. We don't know just yet exactly. And by the way, both of these deals are not yet final. They have to be approved by the NBA. So it's pending approval, but the agreement is reached by both of these parties. So here's the quote from Herb Simon. "My good friend Stephen Rails, who has a strong Hoosier ties and is a graduate of DePaul University and co-founder of Danaher Corporation, which is the owner of an Indiana-based life sciences company, Beckman Coulter, expressed an interest in acquiring a minority investment in the franchise. After considerable discussion, Stephen is going to become a minority owner of 20% of the franchise, pending league approval." And this is the key part. These two sentences, I think, one, very important, and I'm glad that he made point to mention it because this is the first thing all of us are wondering, right? He says, to continue on, "Management of this franchise remains under Simon family control. The Simon family is as committed to Indiana as we have been since we moved here from New York in the 1960s, end quote. So a good quality statement right there, to the point with some facts provided by Herb Simon and the organization yesterday. But I'm not sure they were exactly expecting for that to get out on Thursday. The team's corporate spokesman was on a flight, actually, when news got out, and then they act quickly. And now we're able to discuss it and understand it a little bit more. I hope to have a conversation with Stephen Rails and to get to know him a little bit and to help you, the fans, understand him and what he's about and maybe his passion for basketball, his acumen in business, which is clearly very strong. I'll get into his background here in just a minute. But Stephen Rails has been mentioned by team executives previously. I go back to the end of October after Rick Carlisle agreeing to a contract extension for the Pacers. Among the people he thanked was Stephen Rails. And so that was notable to me, the first time he had been publicly mentioned, I think, but by anyone within the franchise. Steve Simon, again, is Herb's son. He's kind of that next in line to take over, has taken on a bigger role within the franchise in recent years. And recently, I guess back again, going back to the All-Star game in February out in Salt Lake City, I asked Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, about Herb and his impact on the league and of course, with the tie-in that Indy would be getting the All-Star game coming up next year, meaning this year. And so that was really cool. And to quote a short part of what he had to say is he said, he has been a force of innovation and constructed change over the years. I think other governors in the league would say he has done extraordinary service to the league, end quote. So Herb Simon giving up more of the franchise here worth probably about $3.5-4 billion in total. The valuation, again, just under $3.5 billion, according to Sportico. Have not been able to independently confirm that just yet. And more to that, the stake that he's adding on here, another 15% worth, then based on that valuation, over $500 million. And I remind you, the Simon brothers bought the franchise back in 1983 for less than $11 million. So the big question, right, is who is Steven Rails? Who is this guy? I've never heard of him. I had never heard of him until I looked into him after I believe he was sitting courtside at the season opener back on October 25th. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe he was sitting courtside row one next to Bo Simon, Herb Simon's wife. At least looked like him from afar, but the seats are difficult to see right there. But I believe he was there, which is another indication maybe he had taken on more within the franchise. And to remind you, too, minority owners are usually just that. They really don't have much say. That's why you see with Mark Cuban, him selling at a what valuation he did, but retaining being the primary decision maker in basketball operations, that has more value, right? If you're the running management and running basketball operations, Simon family saying they will continue to do this. This is just a 20% stake, and certainly notable, much more than 1%. I think, right? Shaq had 1% at one time of the Phoenix Suns, and maybe even still does the Sacramento Kings. So many of these teams have a lot of owners that have a very small, nearly irrelevant share, unless you're talking about money, irrelevant in terms of involvement. I guess you get a ring out of all of it probably and say you are an owner, but you're not the guy. That's the value of being someone like Herb Simon or like Jim Irsay. So Steven Rails, 72. He's from Maryland, lives out in Santa Barbara. He's worth an estimated $7.5 billion, and that's according to Forbes. He's a businessman, owns multiple companies, including a film production company. Makes sense, right? You're out in California. That's Hollywood. You're involved in that. He's a proud DePaul Tiger, also a donor. I saw looking back at some stories from DePaul that he's things that he's made possible through donations. So he's very much involved there. And as Herbie recognized in his quote, one of the companies is an owner of a different company that's an Indiana-based life sciences company. So there's ties there as well. And clearly, the Simon family comfortable enough with him, not just to bring him on in the first place, but now in a much larger role with more equity here. Now, again, one of the big first questions is going to be, does this mean they're going to move? Or does this mean they're going to sell even more? Is Herbie trying to get out? No, it doesn't seem that way at all. I view this as a way to maybe diversify, to bring in a friend, to maybe profit while you can. Maybe the values aren't going to raise significantly more. I don't know. That's the one big question that I think all sports owners are seeing and having to decide, quite frankly, is now a good time to maybe get out. Some are saying, hey, I want to get in, because when you're an owner of a team, that gets you into parties, that gets you into meetings. People want to have conversations with you. It gets you into an exclusive club to be an owner. And so if you can, that's one of the reasons many choose to do so. But, Simon's owned this team for a long time. I'm sure he has business and family interests that very much played into this decision. I hope to talk to him. I'm not expecting it just because that's not been his MO. But when a big deal like this happens, perhaps, especially it's business, and he's more of a businessman than he is, management in terms of basketball. One thing he stressed in talking to him just a couple of times in my decade of covering this team is that he purposely hires smart basketball people and stays out of the way. He knows what he's good at, he knows what he's an expert at, and he knows what he's not at. And so he's been very much hands-off in terms of basketball decisions. Now, he does have the final say, and if there's a big trade or big draft or coaching hire that needs to be made, obviously he's the final one signing off, or he's the one saying, or looking into things or pushing things, maybe on a committee level at the Board of Governors meeting. But he's empowered Kevin Pritchard to run the franchise from the basketball side and Rick Fuson to run Pacers Sports and Entertainment from the business side. Now, again, back to the franchise's future. Look, you're seeing the investments made from a city level and investments from the team level as well. There was more than $400 million spent on renovations and upgrades and new additions to the Fieldhouse over the last 3 years. It's stunning to me that they spent about $360 million specifically in renovations to the Fieldhouse, twice what the arena cost to build back in 1999. That's just how much inflation, the cost of upgrades and hardware and all that. And I've told Mel Raines and others within the franchise too, they are so lucky that they agreed to the renovations, the cost and all that back before the pandemic, back before the big rush here, back in 2019. And that's another key date too. That was 20 years after the franchise kind of moved into what then was Conseco Fieldhouse. Well, back in, I think it was April of 2019, the franchise agreed to a new 25-year deal with the Capital Improvement Board of Indianapolis, which kind of runs or more so oversees and owns the Fieldhouse, and the Pacers allowed to run it. It's an incredible business deal. St. Vincent Center is the same way, in that the Pacers are tenants. They eventually won't own that building, is my understanding. They pay rent, and at the end of the term, I believe they turn it over to the city. That's a lot of minutiae you probably don't care about, but it's important to know that back in 2019, the Pacers agreed to a 25-year extension with the city that runs through the 2043-44 season. Yeah, well off into the distance, but that's another reason to believe, no, this does not signal they're trying to sell the majority stake or move to a different city. And just this couple months ago, we saw the opening of Bicentennial Unity Plaza. That's that outdoor space just north of Gainbridge Fieldhouse that in the summer months has a basketball court. Just recently, you know, and now in the winter months will be an ice skating rink, outdoor skating rink for the public to take part in. If you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, go to fieldhousefiles.com. Full details for you right there. And then the last, and not quite last, some bigger news is you have Commission Row going up, and that's the construction just east of Bicentennial Unity Plaza, a speakeasy, Mel's Steakhouse, and then an event space on the third floor. So three floors right there, three very different multi-use purposes. That's a Herb Simon type deal, not a Pacers deal. And then there's, you know, just to the west of the Fieldhouse, other deals under consideration. I'm not sure if they've given final approval, but perhaps another hotel, apartment, condo-type space that could be connected to the Fieldhouse. Again, to me, what this represents, I think, in many ways, is kind of what we're seeing with new ownerships across the league. I always go back to New England with the NFL and New England Patriots, Patriot Place. It's not just a football stadium. There's shops. There's all kinds of areas to get involved with, to do stuff pregame, hotels. That's what you're seeing within ownership now. It's not just about owning the team. It's about owning the arena, the land around it. And so, again, I think that's what you're seeing with Herb Simon and company right there with Commission Row, with Bicentennial Unity Plaza, which was, by the way, I should make note that it was made possible due to about $29 million in donations from the Lilly Endowment, which is crushing it. One of the biggest philanthropies in the country, maybe world. They kind of funded that, but an incredible outdoor space for really the downtown of Indianapolis. But wanted to jump on here. I'm not quite an emergency podcast. This is not a majority stake, but a lot relevant within the Pacers, the business side of the franchise, that I wanted to address here going into this weekend here, after the big news of Stephen Rales taking on more ownership after he gets approval from the league. No reason to think it will not go through. That's just a formality here, especially considering he already has a very small minority share in the company. For all my coverage, you can, and more on this, if you're more of a reader, you can check it out at fieldhousefiles.com. I appreciate those of you who our subscribers, paid subscribers especially, and those of you who have maybe joined in for the first time over the last couple of weeks utilizing that Black Friday Cyber Monday special that I offered, the biggest offer ever, and there were dozens and dozens of you who took advantage of that, and I truly appreciate that. So thanks for watching or listening, however you're consuming this Fieldhouse Files podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a lot more. And yeah, continue to read my coverage at fieldhousefiles.com. I hope you all have a great holiday as we get into December 1st and my favorite time of year, no doubt about that. And I'll talk to you again here soon.